This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
That shot specifically was an announcement. John, I know you've brought that up already this morning. 90-90, Cade, back-to-back buckets and a three at the Garden. Mm-hmm. Backs against the wall, Pistons win.
It was fun to watch. And it was fun because in the series, and whether they ultimately win it or not, this year we've seen Cade take so many steps forward. We've seen this organization take so many steps forward. And it really, you kind of believe, like the Lions, when Brad Holmes was hired and Dan Campbell, like it's the best era of Lions football that I've ever known. Mm-hmm. And I mean, okay, there are a few people that are would compare it to, you know, the 56 World Championship, but there's just not many people around. This is the greatest era. It's not going to be the greatest era of Pistons basketball, but for those that are 20 to 30 years old and maybe don't remember or weren't old enough to enjoy, like, this is the greatest era of Pistons basketball in their life, and it's literally only been 1 year. but the excitement of watching Cade grow up, watching this team develop, the thought of what they could do in the offseason, and Cade hitting a big bucket last night, making a couple of big moments.
He finished with 13 in the fourth quarter, 24 for the game, flirted with another triple-double, and he started slow. I'm going, I don't want to see him go down this way. Because in the first half, he wasn't doing very much.
Right. I think at halftime, he had four or five.
If they lose with a dud of a Cade performance and the season's done, look, it's not a referendum on the season, but it would feel anticlimactic. Now, we get a big game six where you know the city's going to show up, where you know the team's going to play hard. They've played hard in every single game. Mm-hmm. And if you take care of business at home, you put all the anxiety into the Garden. You put all the pressure on the Knicks. Last night was huge. And it's Cade, but it's also Ausar Thompson. They let him play at the end of that game. I know he doesn't give them very much in the way of spacing offensively. No one respects his jumper. But he defends. He hounds the ball. Brunson finished with the worst playoff game he's had in a Knicks uniform. Fewest points, lowest shooting percentage. Those two things go hand in hand. Cade stepping out into the spotlight and Ausar Thompson blocking out the star that is Jalen Brunson.
And this is where you learn about postseason play. This is where you learn about what's possible. What can you do? Because the reason it's hard when you're up 3-1, but it's been a contentious series, right? I mean, the Pistons could easily be up 3-1 going into last night. And it's been a possession at the end of all of these games. When you're down 3-1, and the reason it's hard to finish out a series like this from the Knicks' perspective is the Pistons, they go into that game with nothing to lose.
Right.
You're not expected to win. No one thinks that you're going to win three in a row. And so you're playing not, you know, footloose and fancy free, but you're backed in a corner, you're coming out swinging, and you're going to take maybe more chances than you normally would. And now all of a sudden in that game, in game five, it works.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, is there something that Cade did in that game where he's like, you know what, I've never had that mindset before. I've never played like that before. I've never taken that shot before. I've done this. And all of a sudden, it worked. And now going into game six, he's got a little bit of confidence that I can do those things. And maybe it pays off into game six. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe they force a game seven. Maybe they don't. But then going into next year, taking those lessons, those moments, those feelings, and building on them for next year.
Think about it like this. For a young team, when it clicks, it clicks. We saw it with the Lions. Right? When it turned, it turned.
Yeah.
You know, they went from a team where we're going, boy, Dan Campbell's getting some tough questions. I don't know if this is going to work out, right? And then Sheila has to publicly back him. To the end of the season, they're fighting for a playoff spot, and they've won back-to-back divisions. When it flips quick. The Pistons, they were a 14-win team last year. When it flips quick. They tripled their win total. They're in the playoffs right now. They're giving the Knicks everything they've got. And John, I'm not going to proclaim this, but if it flipped last night in terms of that extra playoff gear, game six, you close it out. You're learning how to close out games before our eyes. You close out game six. Maybe Stu does play. Maybe Beef Stew's in game six, or could you imagine a game seven at the Garden? And you end up coming back down 3-1, what it would say about this basketball team who already has turned one corner, but maybe turning another right in front of us.
And you could look at the season as a whole and say, when did it click for this young team? And it was right around Christmas, right? They're on the road at Phoenix, at LA, at Sacramento. They come away with three wins. They lose to Denver, which, okay, it's Denver. But then they start off the new year and they rip off five wins. And now all of a sudden they're developing a confidence. It's a we can do this moment.
Yeah.
Then you get into the playoffs and you triple your win total the regular season. I don't want to minimize that. And you secure a playoff spot. Like there's certain moments, certain landmarks throughout the course of the season where, as you put it, it just clicks for a young team. And now in the postseason, you kind of felt like in game two, okay, it clicked.
Right.
And it's possession by possession. You get your backs are against the wall and it feels like it clicks again. Can they capitalize on that and take it to the next level?
I think they continue to show you how tough they are, not just like physical basketball. You lose game four at home. You lose back-to-back home games. And then game four ends the way it did. It's really easy to sulk and pout and be the victim. I think we saw a completely different response last night. We saw a tough, mentally tough response from the Pistons last night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because it could have gone the way of the Heat.
Sure.
Hey, all right. Season's over. Let's just
start the off-season.
U-Haul's attached. Yeah. Let's get on. Let's move on. And they didn't have any of that, which we didn't think they would.
A lot to talk about with this basketball team. They won't go quietly into the night. Backed against the wall, they win in Madison Square Garden. This series is full of close games, and they're learning to close right before our very eyes. Cade Cunningham, 13 fourth quarter points. Asar Thompson playing the final 7 minutes, clamping down Jalen Brunson. Look, when it turns, when that switch gets flipped, it happens quickly. Maybe happening before our eyes. Did that win get you back on board? Look, you lose back-to-back at home. I think a lot of people thought they were
toast.
Done. Yeah. Are you bought back in? Do you think they're getting this done? Take a text, phone calls, 248-539-9797. And I know it makes game four sting more because they could clinch on Thursday if that goes the other way. But I love how they responded to all of the adversity and all of the issues they had in game four.
This is one of those, hey, you go out and play. Like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, you go out and play, you're backed in a corner, go out there and force a game seven and see what happens. Go out there and just make the Knicks beat you. Don't do something to beat yourself. Make the Knicks go out there and actually show that they're the better team. And I thought last night, going into Madison Square Garden, in that fourth quarter, Cade playing the way that he did, it really shone a light on the fact that he's the guy that you can build around. He's the Batman.
I'm Batman.
Not the Robin. He's the...
One of those talking points, right, was can he be the best player on a title team? And yep. You learn a lot about a guy in the postseason. Ticket Texter says, slow down on comparing him to Mr. Big Shot. And says he did tank a 15-footer in game four. He's not there yet, signed Mike in Fenton. We'll get to CJ in Belleville. CJ, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to shout out our young Pistons, man, for bringing defense and physicality back to the NBA. Last night at the 8-minute mark in the fourth quarter, I think the game was like 81-81. That is real basketball. And it was so much fun to watch. You know, you were locked in. The guys were going back and forth. It was just a great game. And I want to say, you know, Cade Cunningham, phenomenal player. You know, obviously we all like his progression through his career. We also have to keep in mind that, like, this is his first playoff series. Most superstars go through it. I was really happy to see that he put up 14 points in the fourth quarter, because his other four quarters in the past games weren't too productive as far as points. And then last thing, man, I love J.B. Bickerstaff. I think he's done a phenomenal job. But, man, in the playoffs, you kind of got to do things different. And I love Ron Holland. I love the way he plays, the energy. But you can't put that guy out there. Like, you just can't. He's too high risk, low reward. Every time he's out there, it's a turnover, a bad foul, and it just puts them in a tough situation in there. You know, he's kind of losing possessions when he puts Ron Holland on. You got to go with your dogs, man, especially in an elimination game.
Well, they think he is one of their dogs. I agree. You got to be very careful. You got to be careful. I get your point, CJ, because you're right. In the playoffs, you shorten the bench. And the series, as you get deeper, you shorten it even more. And you lean on guys and you say, hey, my 5, 6, 7 best players are going to have to play 40 minutes.
Agree. And I agree with you. I think Ron Holland is a dog. He brings a lot of energy to the game. You know, But, man, it's just the mistakes and the times that he makes those mistakes. You know, that's my only issue with it. But
I got
what I'm seeing from the Pistons. Hope we pull it out. I think we'll pull out game 6, and I'm still pretty confident we're going to pull this series out. So, go Pistons. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, CJ.
You know, just to that point, though, somebody's got to be out there. You can't go as far as J.J. Redick did on Sunday. I mean, seriously,
fill people in on this.
Where he played Luka and LeBron, what was it, 46 minutes, and they did not make a substitution in the second half, which is absolutely incredible if you think about it. You got to find that breather for these guys if it's the last 30 seconds of a third quarter or something like that into the first minute of the fourth. I get it. Holland hasn't been good, but who's going out there if he isn't? Because somebody's got to go out there and absorb some minutes. You're right about shortening the bench, but I mean, that's a delicate thing because that can backfire if you know, the guys are winded and done late in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put up with the Holland stuff because then your guys that perform
it
at
gets
the
you
end.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets you to
it's
the
a
finish
tough,
line.
It's a tough situation.
Let's get to Ryan in Royal Oak. Ryan, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Love you guys. Great show.
Thanks.
Just wanted to comment on, you know, the game yesterday. And, you know, game 2 was great, too. But felt like yesterday was different than game 2. You know, game 2, we kind of controlled, hit a big shot at the end. But this one, the Knicks just kept trying to come back and come back. And this Pistons team, man, they just made shot after shot, stop after stop. I think they showed, you know, the confidence they're building. I really think they're better. They're deeper than the Knicks. And last thing, just Tobias Harris, what he's doing on Towns. You know, let's not forget how hard it is to guard that guy. He's going to put up his numbers, but he seems to be in his head a little bit. He's undersized on him, but he's just a dog out there. He's hitting shots too. So love for him. I think this team can pull it out. Particularly, hopefully, we can hit game 6 and put all the pressure on them in game 7. But if it comes down to game 7, I think this team showed they got what it takes physically and mentally to kind of wear them down and, you know, put their best shot out there and go in and win the whole damn thing. So, proud. It was great. I underestimated how happy I'd be this morning when I woke up from that win. And, you know, let's keep rolling. But appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point about this team and, like, the significance of this win and how it shifts the series. If you get to a game 7, you've won twice already in New York. Game 7, the pressure's on the Knicks, and the only thing standing in the way from getting to game 7 is a game here in Detroit. Now, they haven't won in Detroit in this series, but they've been in every game in this series. And if they're figuring out how to close games, John, I mean,
look out.
Pistons and 7s, it's right there.
But now they have to do it back-to-back times because they finished a game, they closed out a game in game 2. They've got to figure out how to do that and to do it at home.
But that's a good thing here, John. It's way to perspective of coming back from 3-1. You just said, can the Pistons come back from 3-1? I don't know. Seems like a tall task. Jim, you were mentioning yesterday, but they can do it for a day.
Yes.
Well, they did it for a day. Now they don't have to do it back-to-back games. They have to do it for a day. And then if they get to game 7, you know how long they have to do it? They have to do it for another game. They have to do it for a game.
Break it up. Yep. It's the only mentality you can have at this point. You don't look at it as winning 3 in a row. You look at it as winning the next game.
Engineer brain. Just solve the next problem.
Right. And if you're going to be the more desperate team, if you're going to be the more, you know, the Pistons played last night the way they should play, that they're capable of playing, the way that we thought they would play when we both picked them to win this series. Right, that they could win a pivotal game in New York to win this series. They're going to have to do it again and again, but last night may offer up some hope for the fan base. 248-539-9797. Before we get the ticket text, Tony in Ferndale, good morning.
Hey, morning, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
Hey, good. You know, just want to chime in. You know, I thought Game 5 was an unwinnable game after the Jalen Brunson chance, and Game 3 and 4 at LCA, I thought the environment at MSG was going to be unbeatable, and the guys went in and got it done. So anything's done with this team, or anything's possible with this team, but, it, you know, I can't be going without said. I called in last week after a loss in one of those Game 3 or Game 4, and you guys were saying, hey, let's trade 3 first-rounders and Jalen Duren and Jaden Ivey for Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is a perfect example of a team with chemistry, working when they need to, making plays in tough environments.
Tony,
you know, is Giannis going to demand the ball in fourth quarter in a game like last night?
Tony, I'd still do that trade.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
how to make this team better for next year. I mean, that's two different topics. What we're talking about and what you're talking about is this team being able to, you know, rebound. And I think it's a great point too. That's a tough rebound. With the way they lost in Game 4, it was deflating. It was crushing. They had to get over that to be able to win in Madison Square Garden, where that place was going nuts.
And Tony, I think they're two, to John's point, two different conversations. If the Pistons advance, and feel optimistic after last night, if the Pistons do pull this off, they will face harsher realities in the second round of the playoffs, and you may be looking at it going, yeah, I'd love to add a Giannis to this basketball team. I think we're ahead of ourselves, because you're right, the series isn't over, and we are seeing this team grow up before our eyes, but there is a ceiling on this. And that's why those Giannis and Booker conversations will end up coming up later in the summer, because this team's not going to win at all, and you're going to have that honest conversation about how you get better. Some ticket text, 248-539-9797. It's the Knicks' three-point shooting against the Pistons' defense. If the shooting goes cold, the Pistons win. The Knicks have made some huge shots at times in this series.
They have, and it's been Karl Anthony Towns that's made a lot of those big threes.
For the first time in the series, Brunson looked tired. It's a long physical series, and now the rest is short between these final games. Advantage Pistons, signed Brian. It's a good note. Brunson seemed like he was struggling at the end of the game. In fact, was out the last couple minutes sitting on the sideline. Might have been in pain, bent over backwards. Says, I'm curious to know if the physicality might be taking its toll on him. And a texter brings up bad clock management at the end of the game. I don't know specifically what they're referring to, but I thought the Knicks needed to get Brunson in the game. They needed to take a timeout and get him back out there. Maybe Brunson is running out of gas here.
Well, I mean, we talked about it going into the series. Their starting five is who they've been riding with. And they've been doing it throughout the playoffs. Is it taking a toll? Because he is dinged up. And, I mean, he goes off limping at some point in every single game.
Yeah. Last game, hats off
to him for continuing to play at a high level. But is the wear and tear going to cost them at the end of this series? And the Pistons have to make it.
One thing I'm going to be really curious about is JB made the adjustment we talked about. Asar Thompson closing out the game.
I appreciate him listening.
I'm sure that's why it was. He's driving around in the morning. An epiphany.
Yeah.
Streaming us from New York. You know what I'm going to do with those guys said? No, I think this was just an obvious, you got to try something. You're facing elimination. Go down with your best defender on the floor in the fourth quarter. This team is a defense first team. They're not going to score a ton in the half court. If you can get stops, you can get easy buckets. I loved that counterpunch to put Asar out there, and I want to see it the rest of the series. The Knicks will try to adjust. And if they can't adjust in game six, John, if the Pistons get to game seven, I think they're winning this. So it makes game six.
We'll
game
discuss
six
that.
Becomes that game to win the series.
We'll discuss that on Friday.
Okay.
I'm not even going there.
I am excited
about the potential, the possibility, but let's focus on game six. Let's focus on getting a win at the LCA.